back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Certainly we're thankful for our young people that are graduating from high school and some maybe from college. Wish them the very best, and our whole effort is always to encourage our young people to stand firm and be faithful to the Lord. And surely we wish all of ours great success in their endeavors. Will your anchor hold? The Bible talks about an anchor. The Bible tells us that the storms of life will come. And you and I need an anchor. When the Bible talks about an anchor and tells us that anchor is hope. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Hope is the happy combination of desire plus expectation. Many of us desire things we never expect. And most of us expect things we never desire. Hope, however, is that combination, desire and expectation. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesian brethren, Paul said, "There is one God and one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, in one hope." What is it, Paul? Paul said, there is the hope. That hope is for the child of God. And when we go to the Word of God, we find that it's described, as Matt read for us this morning, from Hebrews chapter 6, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. The immutability of God, that is the unchangeable law of God, assures you and I as being and having that wonderful hope. Christians have hope, but there are people in the world that don't. Many Christians, are those who are children of God, are thrilled that they know that they can bow before God through Jesus Christ. When we turn to the book of God and we find where the Bible tells us, over in the book of John chapter 17, Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them that believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou art in me and I in thee, that the world may believe that you have sent me." John 20, verses 17 and verses 20 and 21. Who are Christians? Christians are children of God, people who have obeyed the gospel, and they have this immutable thing or unchangeable law of God that says God's made a promise. God's taken an oath. And God cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 1. Hence we have grounds for our hope. That unchangeable will of God. Parents are exhorted to teach their children the Lord's commandments. Why? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Psalm 78 and verse 7. And God is described as the hope of Israel in Jeremiah 14 and verse 8. In the midst of life's uncertainties, there's only one fixed, immutable thing to which we can tie our hopes to, and that is God Himself. All else will fail. Hope, an anchor of the soul. The Hebrew passage describes hope as the anchor of the soul. The metaphor compares the Christian to a boat on the sea. The Christian is on the sea of life. Their storms which threatened to drive his ship from its port. The storms of persecution, adversity, doubt, and death. But when he has an anchor, he has an anchor from God, an anchor that holds him both sure and steadfast. Just as the boat's anchor reaches down to the bottom of the ocean and out of sight, the Christian's anchor ascends out of sight into heaven where it is there fixed. God has spoken. God has told us. What he said can never change. It's immutable. No wonder the Bible says an anchor is given to us to hold us, to serve the purpose of making things sure and steadfast. And when we're tossed to and fro, when we're out in the sea of life, all the problems that arise, we need something to hold us steadfast. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." But how can you be steadfast? How can you be unmovable? "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The answer is by knowing God and knowing His will, believing God and knowing that God cannot lie and He will not. During the storm, one ship may drift a little, but the fixed anchor will bring him back to his moorings. I've noticed that some people, when they get real sick, they have something that holds them steadfast. When in the family there are family problems that arise that would cause some people to give up, not them. Why? They have an anchor. They have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, because they know something. They know from what God said in Romans 8 and verse 28, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." The question is, will mine and will your anchor hold? There are other hopes that men have, and Job talks about one of them. Over in the book of Job 31 and verse 24, Job describes those who make gold or wealth. That's their hope. Yet others make power and strength their hope. No wonder in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible says, "The hope of the unjust men perisheth." God has spoken. God says something. What does He say? Christian, you have something. You have me. You can turn to me. I'm going to be with you. The early disciples were told, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always." What? Peter, James, and John, other disciples, had the assurance, and that assurance was wherever they were, God made the promise through His Son, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world." Matthew 28. No wonder then, the Bible tells us in 19 and 20, we have that great hope. "The hope of the unjust man perisheth." The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11 and verse 7, there was a song that was written, a song that we sing. We have an anchor. If we have an anchor that holds the soul both sure and steadfast, surely you and I know all things are going to work out for good for us. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and cables strain, will your anchor drift or will you firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. I like the song that Steve picked out about, "I'll not take a step without Him." Because the child of God knows that he needs that direction. In the book, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. He will not depend upon just his intellect to do what he wants to do. For in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. No wonder Paul told Timothy, you preach the way. You preach the word. In the book of 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Where does this anchor hope come from? It comes from God. We learn about it through the gospel. And no wonder in Colossians verse chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The only means of attaining this hope is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the book of Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. How do we get into Christ? The Bible answers that question. That question is answered by saying to you and I, we must be born again. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, how that for by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. We're baptized into Christ. Where do we have that hope, which is both sure and steadfast? In Christ. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father through Him. No wonder Paul reminds us in Colossians 1 and verse 18, He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Those who are in Christ, those who have been baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What does God say through His Word to those who obey Him, who become children of His? They're forgiven of their sins. They become added to the kingdom of God. In Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He didn't wait. Whenever a person obeyed the gospel, baptized into Christ, they were added by the Lord to His kingdom, the church. And what did they receive? They received hope. Hope of what? That the Lord has forgiven them. They're now God's people. They now have that hope that comes to those who serve the Lord. And let me suggest two things to you. It's the hope of the resurrection. I want to talk with you just a minute about that. Many of us have gone with loved ones to the graveside. We have lost people. And we've laid their bodies into the grave. I want to tell you something that will keep you going. I want to remind you, that's not the end for that person. That person who is a child of God will be raised up. Paul described it as the hope and the resurrection of the dead. And in that wonderful resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he pointed out to us, it is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. That body will be raised. It will be changed. Listen to it. It is what the Christian hope is, one that has been raised up because of the fact that we come and we're obeying the gospel of Christ as we have, and we've been added to His kingdom. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And Paul had earlier said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. No. Our hope is not only in this life, but our hope is in that which is to come. Paul said, if that's all that we had in this life, we are of all men most miserable. The righteous hath hope in his death. Although we sorrow when our loved ones die, we do not despair. Paul writing to the brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Do you believe that? Of course you do if you're a child of God. What does that give you? It gives you hope. Listen to again. These are the words of God. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Not the end. Where's our hope? It's the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It holds us firm. Though we give them up, we'll see them again. He says, Christ will God bring with him. Though we there sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." And that's why he could say it. By the word of God. It's spoken. He cannot lie. What did he say? "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." And he will. No doubt about it. God said it. We have that hope. That hope because God's made that statement and promise to us. And he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." What gives us hope? To be caught up together with our loved ones. To dwell with them who are in the Lord. He says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And the climax, the concluding promise is, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The hope of the gospel is the hope of resurrection. "Indeed, the Lord brought life and immortality to light through the gospel," 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. And second, it is the hope of going to heaven. The anchor that we have, both sure and steadfast, holds us steady. We're not giving up. We know where we stand. We're God's people. And we have that hope of living in heaven. After a while, surely we want to go to heaven. Our resurrection is not to another period of earth, another period of earthly life. It's the resurrection to eternal life with God in heaven above. Look what the Bible says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." It's reserved. For whom? For us who are children of God, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. It is a resurrection. It is resurrection to abide forever in the presence of the Lord. Revelation 21, verse 3. And where God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. And there shall be no more death. There shall neither be sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more. No more pain. Can you realize why Paul said he was ready to go? He was ready to be with the Lord, which is far better. He wanted to be with God. In Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The child of God has been promised he will be raised. The child of God has been promised by the Lord that we can go to heaven and be with God. But in conclusion, we have to think of those who die, who have no hope. When they're raised up, it'll not be to the resurrection of life. Those who have no hope, the Scriptures speak real clear. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as. Underline it. Don't want you to be like them. There are some that has no hope. There are some that will not be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. There'll be those who will be raised up who have no hope. Have no hope then, and none in eternity. Even as those which have no hope. In Ephesians 2, verse 12, Paul writes, he said, at that time, there was a time when you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There are people that die that you can't tell their loved ones. They're at rest. You cannot say those people are in a better shape. For my friend, if you don't have hope, you don't have anything. Funerals sometimes that are conducted. You hear a preacher get up. They talk about someone who's never even obeyed the gospel. Someone who hasn't been serving the Lord. They leave the impression that it's, everything's fine. It's not fine. Why? Because the Bible speaks that a person can live the life of the wicked and he'll have no hope. Someone has written, those who have lived their lives without regard to their obligations to God, who never had time to attend worship services because to them, they're not important, yet God tells us how important it is. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Who rarely ever contribute a dollar to the church for the spread of the gospel, though God tells us, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3, that we're to give. Who have their portion in this life because they want just this life. And you hear them saying, I want to get the gusto that I can have now. But what about then? People that have no hope. Friend, I want to tell you what. A faithful child of God is full assurance of that hour of death based on the hope. Because Paul said, I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of life which the Lord will give to me in that day and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There is the anchor of the soul is hope. The anchor of the soul for the child of God. I'm going to be faithful, aren't you? I trust and pray that if you're not a Christian, you'll become one today. That you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be baptized. Why? Because that's what the Word of God teaches. And the Lord will add you to His kingdom. And if you're a child of God, you haven't lived faithfully, don't die without hope. God has told us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He's given us the assurance that there will be a resurrection. And that resurrection will bring forth a body that will be changed. And that glorious hope, because in this life, we had the hope that is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Meet the Lord with assurance that you'll be able to go and dwell with Him forevermore. If your subject is invitation this morning anyway, think about it. Do you have hope? If you have no hope now, and you die in that condition, God says there will be no hope. Why not do something about your soul? If you're subject anyway, come now, won't you, while together we stand in